We're going to go right to my little joke. So here we go. I heard a cute one. This young man went up to the pastor and said, "Pastor, you got to pray for my hearing." He said, "Okay, well, meet me after service." So the man went up to the pastor, and the pastor put his hands on his ears, and he just prayed with such passion. And he dropped his hands. He said, "Well, how's your hearing?" He said, "I don't know. It's not till tomorrow." Some of you know what I mean. Yeah. Another man, a little more in his middle upper age, told his neighbor, he said, "Man, my wife's got a hearing problem. It's terrible." And he said, "Well, why don't you, she won't go to any doctor to get it resolved. I got to prove it somehow. Well, why don't you do the hearing test? How does that happen?" "Well, you just kind of ask her a question from a distance. If she doesn't hear, move a little closer. Doesn't hear that, move a little closer." "Yeah, got it." So that night, he's in his recliner in the living room. She's in the kitchen. "Honey, what's for dinner?" Crickets. Nothing. So he goes to the kitchen door. "Honey, what's for dinner?" Still nothing. He goes right behind her. "Honey, what's for dinner?" She turns around. For the third time, chicken. All right. You go ahead and discuss that one with your friends. They probably didn't hear that. They didn't hear it. So it really is important we get a chance to hear what the Lord would say to us right now. So Lord, we really ask you, Lord, open our hearts. Really, those things that minister life to our souls, help that to happen in a great way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Many of you have been commenting and been with us. This is our third part of our series, Good Habits with Giving Christ More in 2024. Our theme this year at Hope Chapel all year long is Giving Christ More in 2024. And that is our theme. Our theme verse is what Jesus said in Luke 6:38. Give, comma, and you will receive. Now, it's pretty straightforward. Give, and you will receive. Men will give back to you, good measure, pressed down, running over. The same measure you use, it will be given back to you. So we're going to be, we've been looking at giving of our lives, giving of our speech, sharing ourselves, stepping out for God in public. Boy, just those ways that we can give to God. Well, today is our annual reports, and it's all about sharing what God's doing through us. And it has been a great, great deal of good that's come about because of the generosity of this church. And today is the good habit of giving. That's today's message. Generosity is really, it's always been a high value here at Hope Chapel. 22 years ago, when Ainsley and I came, the church gave about $520 to missions for that previous year. I said, well, that really needs to change. And the following year, we gave well over $20,000. We thought that was a banner year. We were barely kind of scraping by. And then it's just progressed to where we have, even this last year, you have given $153,000 to missions. Besides all the other things that we have done, being a big-time part of just the opening of the Fifth Street offices of STN, Surfing the Nations, starting a surfers church, or being really a host site for that on Saturday. We've always been involved with the community as well, very generous with nails in his hands, helping not only our elementary schools and mobile home parks. It's morphed into Surf City, serve as in serving. It's been powerful to be able to see what God's doing through us. It's just such a generous environment. That's you. That's what God's doing through you. It's constantly ongoing. There's been things that are happening. Our community of churches are now gathered because I've chaired the Sunrise Service for the past 20 years at the pier. Now these pastors are getting together, and that's developed into Serve City. Very powerful. Very, very wonderful. The idea, what we see going on currently, we still have drive-through prayer out to the public. We still have brown bags of hope. We still have even the element of Radius 3. So you can see what God's doing in generosity of a lot of different ways. Praise God for you. And Generosity is the mark of godliness. It's important. That's why we're bringing that up. Something about that, because we know in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, remember when it says, make sure that you train yourself to be godly. And when we saw that, we know training really means to just get into a pattern or to habits to develop. And part of godliness is generosity, is giving. That's important. Look here for a moment as we look at Psalms 37, verse 21. It says this, the godly are generous givers. So today's message, the good habit of giving, to really train ourselves to be godly, if we're really going to go for it in a big time with our relationship and following Jesus, who is a generous God, it's going to be exciting that we get a chance and see that godly are generous givers. Very clear. So what I like about, we feel the presence of the Lord often in our gatherings. I believe because you're giving of your time, just even be here. You could be other places, but you're here and you're searching and seeking and wanting to be with like-minded people that have a heart for Jesus. And God loves that. He loves you regardless, whatever. You know, that's the beauty of the Lord. He just loves us. He loves you. He loves you. Even if you're there behind the screen, He loves you. But I like the fact that it says God really gets excited and loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 says, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. So aren't we glad when we actually give God ourselves in some form or capacity? God loves that. I think because we're tapping into that nature and quality of Him. So how do we develop the habit, the good habit of giving? I want to be very, very gentle, but very direct, because naturally as a pastor, you always want to help sheep to just kind of keep going in what we would feel would be the right way to go in following Jesus. So here we go. Now, many of you just, this is kind of like, well, old hat, you're just kind of like out there. I've already talked about you. But what if we have somebody that says, that's why I don't go to church. They're always going to ask me to do something or to give something. And so let's just take a look at that. Let's ease on in and just hear what the Lord has to say, because that's really between you and God. That's between you and God. But now my message is between me and God, and I need to be responsible to present that to you. So number one, identify your fears with money. Let's just be direct with that. Fears about having enough is common today, and it was common in Jesus' day. Take a look here, because in Matthew chapter 6, he addresses that, and he says, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Father, your Heavenly Father, already knows all your needs. So let's take a look here. It's easier said than done. Don't worry. That is not easy to not worry. It plagues us. We've come into our faith with Jesus just in that whole mindset. We've been trained to be worried. I come from a family of worrywarts. Man, my grandmother was a big worrier. My mother was a worrier. I worked with these worrywarts. I have to fight that stuff off. There's some things you don't want to take from your parents. So one of the things that was there, the mind that's dominated by fear, that's how the world lives. But you and I have been born again. There's something that's going on that's different. We are different. And you know that old acronym for the word fear. Don't you? You all know that? It's false evidence appearing real. Fear, false evidence appearing real to you. And it trips us out. So we have to be careful about that. So how do we deal with fear? This is my journey. Maybe it's some of yours. Number one on your notes, I won't have enough to meet my needs. I won't have enough. So take a look at that, because that is a real fearful condition. Inflation's gone up like 20% in the last 2 years. Gas prices, groceries, people are going out less. Orange County, we still kind of flow in things, but I'm telling you, you go a little bit further from Orange County, and people are very concerned about that. Another one, God will not come through. That's a very real thought. You know what? You're telling me to do this. I can't really believe God's going to come through. Well, to know God's promises and to deal with our fears, we're going to talk just a little bit about that. But that's the beauty of us growing up for God. We start to see the promises of God and dealing with the old historic nature of ours when we walked and lived according to this life of worldliness. Another one, giving will negatively affect my future. Those can really be legitimate. I won't have enough for retirement. I've got plans for my 401k, and I've got this all laid out that I really want to save for my future. I've had sincere guys working with them for ministry jump off the ministry because they were going for a job that would secure their future. That was their call, but they were concerned they would not have enough. And they went for something that would be a, kind of a stable environment for them. Won't tell you how that worked out for them, but everything needs to be by faith. Another one, generosity will get in the way of my plans. I am saving for a house. I'm saving for my children's college education. I'm saving for that overpriced new pickup truck. I won't be able to have it if I have to become generous. So really, what is your fear? So that's all that point is dealing with. We're going to talk about just godliness, because generosity is a part of godliness. So it's going to be important, and we have to just, again, practice in our portion of a new habit. Let's take a look. Number two, believe the promises of God. And that's one of the greatest ways to replace a fear with saying, okay, Lord, then what am I going to base my move going forward in? Because there are more promises about giving and what God will do in the Bible than anything else. The Bible speaks about giving and generosity more than any, even over faith and over hope. It's an amazing thing. It's because that's just God's nature. But you take a look here. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. Proverbs 11, 24 says, give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper, and those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Now just look at that just for a moment. It's definitely there. It's there in the Word of God. Give freely and become more wealthy. Someone said that's miracle math. It's just, you just try that and just see where it is and watch what God will do to gain wealth. When you look at something like that, most visual example is so important. This is a visual example of the principle of sowing and reaping. You sow and it comes back to you. Our theme is give, comma, and you will receive. That is in the Word of God. You just have to go and experience it. And if you have experienced that, would you just say amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's something that's very real, and God's word is true. And so we look here at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's just look at a few verses, because we're talking about beating back the fear of not having enough. We have a very good generation of people that were brought up, and they deal with, and they have some wonderful financial backgrounds, but some people are very afraid of not having enough, moving on later. So that's just something God's working with us on. But look at verse 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And God will generously provide all you need, and then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. That's very real, and it's very clear. Look just a little bit further down to verse 10. It says, same chapter 9, says he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. Lord, I want those resources. He has to use somebody God wants to bestow it upon somebody. Have you ever had somebody give you a random something check or some form of a beautiful blessing somewhere? God used that person to bless you. I want to be that person to go bless them. Lord, if you're going to resource somebody, how about me? That's what the word is saying. So God's promises for more provision says, I'm even going to be even more gracious to you so that you can be more gracious. I love that. Well, let's take a look at some of those things. How do you, point two, believe the promises of God? Well, know God's promises. I don't have it. I was going to work on this list of all of God's promises if we just kind of step into that realm. I didn't do it. But I'm giving you a couple of them. These are very real. It's enough to get you going, maybe even memorize. Know it, because often that is the problem. You and I know somebody says, nope, I'm not going to do it. Nope, I'm not going to give it. They just don't know the word. They don't know the word. And they're working with things that are very, very real. Another one, claim God's promises. That sounds like, hey, but there's something tangible about claiming God's promise. Tell God and yourself, I choose the word of God. Don't just give because somebody gets up here and says, you know, it's time to do that. You need to do. Man, you do that because I am believing God wants me to do that. Lord, I believe your word, and I'm claiming what you have said for me. I'm telling you, even as I'm speaking, I could hear a voice telling maybe a few of you, you can't really trust the word. God won't come through for you. I am familiar with that verse and that voice. That's a wrong voice. Be careful about it. I've heard that saying, you know what? If you give, this will happen to you. We come against that lying spirit in the name of Jesus. We want God to be free to move in our lives. And listen, this is his church. He's responsible for taking care of the bills, so we'll leave that to him. But I share what I'm sharing because I find people I love that aren't discovering the beauty of being generous. They often just struggle. They just struggle. But God's still good. He lets the sun come on the just and the unjust. He's just good anyway. But we struggle more when we are not generous. We just do. And so when you take a look then, pray God's promises. That's the other point. If you're going to know those promises, pray them. If you've been with us in the 21 days of prayer and fasting with Foursquare, man, we got 7 days left. Join us tomorrow, 8 o'clock. Gifts of the Spirit are flowing. It's been pretty exciting. We've been praying the Bible verse. We hand out verses, and then people will pray that. What does that look like? I'm going to demonstrate that for you because many of you may never have prayed a promise. Listen, this book came from heaven to us, and I want to pray it back to heaven. God, you gave us this, but I'm praying this back to you. Let's take an example here. This is important because when we get a chance to pray a promise, let's just go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. Let's just see what that looks like. In this, let me demonstrate this prayer. It says here, and often when we are in our 21 days of prayer and fasting, I have the individuals in the room, they just pray that verse and then move on to the next one. But verse 10 says, and he will provide and increase your resources, then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. So, dear Lord, I want to thank you. I thank you, Lord, because you're going to provide, and you always have provided, but you're going to bring increase. Lord, you promised you would bring increase and resources to produce generosity in Paul Harmon. I want to be generous, and I need something in order for me to be that way. So, Lord, touch my heart. And, Lord, will you enrich me in every way, not just finances. I think you'll rip me off if it's just stopping with money. Rich me with everything. I want my family healthy. I want Hope Chapel healthy. I want people to discover things about God through my life. Enrich me in every way so that I can always be generous with my time and with my resources that you give me in Jesus' name. Amen. That's how you pray a Bible verse. I'm only asking what God's laid out, and I love that 1 John chapter 5, 14 and 15. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. We have the petition that we've asked. So pray the promise of God. You can see the joy and the beauty of getting into the word. Then next bullet point, watch for God's promises. Watch for it. You have your eyes open, you start to see how the Lord starts to work in your lives. It's pretty fun. All of a sudden that job materializes, that raise comes around. Man, somehow a refund pops in there, or you get this incredible deal. And you know that's the Lord. That is God. I see it. Sometimes people don't. And they're still grovelers. They're kind of bummer. They're rich in every way, but they just don't have it together when it comes to saying, I see God working in my life. Watch for God's promises. Then, next one, thank God for his promises. Because it's so personal. It's so personal when God touches you and resources you. It's so personal. To me, it's personal. That means he sees me. He sees my need. It's personal. He sees my struggle. I see him seeing my need. He's answering where I'm really struggling the most. And I'm so grateful that he knows my pain. He's aware of my fears. And I thank you, Lord. That's why I want to thank the Lord. He knows me. He knows you. And it's great to be that capable of thanking him. Number three, view money through the lens of eternity. Now that's wonderful because Jesus is trying to convey to his audience, not going to worry about this life because there's one that's coming. And just check it out with me in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Back again, he says, so don't worry about these things saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. I love that. It's very exciting. So when we take a look at something like this, viewing money, generosity is a way of seeking the kingdom of God. It's really pretty exciting. When you start to say, you know what, I've got to live in this duality here. I'm a natural person, but I know I'm a spiritual person. It's important. There is going to be a divide, and I think money determines where we really live. Jesus says that. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is, and vice versa. I sat with a couple of guys. I said, well, let me, if you're really all in, if you want, let me see your checkbook or your bank account. That'll show me where you're really investing a lot of your time. And so determines your eternity. So it's wonderful when you get a chance to help people with the gospel or feeding the hungry. It's pretty exciting to be able to do that. Generosity prepares us for eternity. Something about that. I remind us that you cannot take anything you have with you. Not a thing. You could even invest it to your family. That's still, now it's on them to be responsible. But you can sure send it on ahead by giving it and distributing it in the name of Jesus to needs. It's pretty impressive to be able to do that. We live in the most prosperous country, praise God. Do you know that all of us live in the top 10 to 15% of everyone on this planet? You're really wealthy, but we still feel like we need a little bit more. So it's important that you consider that. Generosity, next bullet point, allows us to experience God's miraculous kingdom. I like that. I get a chance to experience that. There are just two kingdoms, and there's that fallen earthly kingdom where everybody lives and then they get born again. But there are still some Christians that are living in that fallen earthly kingdom. And it's in limited resources. You're very limited. it won't have everything you need. Then there are those of us that say, man, I'm wanting to step into the kingdom of God, which is unlimited resources. Listen, anyone that can multiply food or pay the taxes from a gold coin from a fish's mouth, hello, I'd like that one, is not living in poverty. So it's going to be important. I want to live in the kingdom of God. Well, let's hit number four, and let's just enjoy the rest of our day. Number four, practice the steps of generosity. Let's just say we're just new to all this stuff, and we're trying to determine that. I think one of the great ways, I like James chapter 1, verse 25, and I bestow that blessing on you. It says, but whoever looks into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. And that's one of my prayers. Lord, I want anything I do to prosper and have good success. So with that, simple steps, here we go. Number one, your notes, decide on the amount. Just make a decision. What amount should I give? I would just pray that with God. Let him be in on that. Lord, how much should I give? That's going to make this decision with him. He'll show you. Sometimes we don't pray because we kind of know he's already spoke to us years and years and years ago. But go back. Just talk with him. Second, choose a method of consistency, which is really important. Be consistent. Be consistent. And there's platforms of giving here at Hope Chapel. The government recognizes us as a nonprofit. We'll give you a tax deduction. But just find that, whether it's an offering box or the old standard envelope or the online giving. And then third, allow it to grow over time. You know, that method of being consistent. Ainsley and I talk, we want to be able to give more than we did 5 years ago or 10 years ago. As God blesses you, you will have to learn to be even more generous. So that's the simple three little points. Allow it to grow over time, and you watch. It will grow. It will grow. Many of you are prosperous because you poured in early on in your life, and now you're reaping a lot of the benefits. Be prepared. Keep going, because there's still many, many years left of your life. Be generous. Pray. Then choose a method how to distribute, and then be consistent. Let me pray with you right now. Father, thank you for your goodness. How wonderful you are. You really are. And we just pause and say, we've all benefited because of Jesus coming to earth. And thank you for the power of the resurrection. And Lord, some of us just need a little adjustment, because we do want to do what godly people do by giving generously. That's our heart's desire. But Lord, there's no one we would want to impress more than you, Heavenly Father. No one. We want to impress you. So Lord, I know you'll just take our hand as a good shepherd and just lead us. Lord, may you continue to bless Hope Chapel. That means people. You bless people. You do not bless programs. So Lord, bless people. Bless these people who are with us online and here today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.